live here.
We live here.
We live here.
We live here.
A project exploring
race,
class,
power,
poverty,
systems, and the people they touch.
I'm Emmanuel Berry.
And I'm Tim Lloyd.
And from St. Louis Public Radio,
this is We Live Here.
On this episode, a preview of what's to come: race, class, and the criminal justice system in St. Louis and beyond.
I told you last week that we're going into another chapter of We Live Here. In particular, we're going to start taking apart complex systems, beginning with one that's been on the mind of a lot of people post-Ferguson, the legal system.
And now for a confession from us. 2 weeks ago, we figured we'd be further along than we are right now.
And we are not.
Yeah, the reporting process, it's a little messy right now. Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah. And so we had to do something that reporters all over love doing, which is asking our editor for more time.
And because our editor, Shula, is benevolent, and of course we're very convincing people, she said yes.
But all of that said, we figured it would be good to let you know where we're going.
Right now, we have four shows planned in our first run at this topic. We're going to start at square one, police officers, and how they interact with the communities they patrol.
Much of law enforcement is a series of judgment calls. What is suspicious? Who gets pulled over? What's threatening behavior?
And there are all kinds of debates happening all over about what it will take to make policing more fair. Some argue cops should live in the communities they police. Others don't think that will make a difference.
And then there's the longstanding divide between law enforcement and African Americans. And it turns out that divide makes a difference for how African American officers experience working on mostly white police forces.
Troy Doyle is an African American who spent 24 years serving on the St. Louis County Police Department. He tells a story about when he first joined the force back in the early 90s.
I remember when I came on in 1992, I was in another room doing a police report, and I remember one of the sergeants at the time having a discussion with another patrolman inside the station. Unbeknownst to him, he didn't know I was in an adjoining room, and I heard him make a comment about, you know, that there were good niggers and there was bad niggers, and it was at that point I realized, man, this thing is real, you know.
Doyle says he didn't want to quit the force because of that experience, but he's seen other minority officers leave the job because they felt marginalized.
And all of those experiences, how police are trained, how much they're paid, and what it's like working the beat, it can inform what happens when they decide to write a ticket or arrest someone.
But policing is just one strand of the criminal justice system.
We're also going to take a look at the lives of public defenders.
For years, public defenders in Missouri have complained of being overworked.
Turns out they aren't just being whiny. That is at least according to a 2009 report by the Spangberg Group and the Center for Justice, Law, and Society at George Mason University.
The report concluded that heavy caseloads and poor funding have resulted in a public defender system in Missouri that offers individuals, quote, the illusion of a lawyer.
Basically, public defenders have so many cases that they cannot give each client the attention they deserve. Sometimes that means they cannot give any attention.
In 2012, the state Supreme Court ruled that public defenders have the right to turn away cases when their workload is too full. But even if the state's public defender system wasn't stressed, people wouldn't be guaranteed court-appointed counsel.
Because if you've committed a felony or the kind of misdemeanor that could land you in jail, you have a right to a public defender under federal law, if that is, you can't afford your own attorney. But if jail time is not on the table, you are not entitled to a public defender in Missouri. This leaves a group of people out. They're often poor and their charges don't qualify for a public defender, and they can't afford legal counsel on their own. So they're left trying to navigate the court systems by themselves.
Michael John Voss is co-founder and director of finance for Arch City Defenders, a nonprofit that provides legal services for poor people. Now, you may recognize that name. Arch City Defenders has received a fair amount of press for taking on the municipal court system in St. Louis County. Voss has a file drawer full of handwritten letters from people sitting in jail. Far more requests for legal services than his attorneys can represent.
It's difficult. It is, you know, it's sort of, I look at it and I have a whole file drawer full of these letters that have come in. And it is, one, it's daunting, and it's also, it physically represents the weight of what's wrong here and trying to fix it. Like I have boxes of letters of people that have handwritten to us from jail that need assistance that aren't getting it.
Some of those people writing letters are in jail for little stuff, misdemeanors, speeding tickets, trespassing, that sort of thing.
And we're going to spend time looking into how being found guilty, or far more often than not, pleading guilty, can create big problems after a debt to society is paid. These are called collateral consequences, or extra penalties that come after paying a fine or serving jail time.
According to the American Bar Association, between state and federal laws, there are more than 46,000 collateral consequences in America. Some are well known, like felons losing their right to vote. But even a misdemeanor has the potential to be life-changing.
For instance, a college student receiving federal aid can lose his or her loans for a year if they're found guilty of possessing even a misdemeanor amount of marijuana.
Yeah, and the Journal of Urban Economics published research last year that found losing federal aid for just a year can drastically reduce the odds a poor student will finish college.
Steve Hanlon is an adjunct professor at St. Louis University's law school, and he says losing a student loan is just the beginning.
Yeah, you're talking about employment, housing, public benefits, education, military. This is the beginning of the end of your life. And more importantly, this is the beginning of you becoming subject to state control.
In Missouri, the ABA found that between federal and state regulations, there are 900 laws that can lead to collateral consequences.
Yeah, and many deal with drug offenses. For instance, if you're found guilty of making or distributing a controlled substance, no matter how many treatment or restorative justice programs you go through, you are no longer eligible for protection against unlawful housing practices or discrimination in commercial real estate loans. And there are 347 laws that the ABA refers to as discretionary.
In other words, maybe something will happen or maybe it won't. And according to the ABA's database, 201 of these laws apply to professional licenses.
Now, some would argue that this is a good thing, saying that it gives licensing boards the flexibility they need to decide who should and should not work in a given field based on an individual's criminal record.
But others would say these laws can go too far. Someone has already paid their debt to society, and they shouldn't have to pay interest as well. Just an example, you could lose your barber's license for being found guilty or pleading guilty to, quote, any offense involving moral turpitude, whether or not the sentence is imposed.
I'm sorry. What is moral turpitude exactly?
Well, by one definition, it's basically doing things considered contrary to community standards of justice, honesty, or good morals.
I mean, so that's for any offense, regardless of whether or not you've served a sentence that falls under this definition. That seems just really, really vague.
Yeah, to say the least. And let's be honest, the potential to lose a barber's license for a small offense seems like a pretty extreme scenario.
But, you know, we were saying earlier that if you are charged with a crime that doesn't carry jail time, you're not guaranteed a public defender.
So that means poor people aren't always getting counsel on these consequences. They don't know that, let's say, pleading guilty to a lesser offense can come with big consequences.
But let's say you do have cash and you can hire a great attorney. Lucien Durbin is an associate professor of law at Southern Illinois University. He says even then, it's hard to know what will happen.
You may not know for sure going into a case whether the individual will actually lose that license. Will they actually lose those employment opportunities? Will they be denied the ability to reside in public housing? Will they lose the ability to have these food stamps? Yes, some of them are automatic, but again, many of these laws and regulations are administered by state organizations that do have some discretion. And again, that just adds to the complexity because it means that you really just can't be certain exactly what will happen in any particular case.
And the most severe collateral consequences are for felons, people who spend a lot of time behind bars.
We're talking 10, 15, maybe 20 years. So once they're out, how do they find housing?
Or get a job.
Try and make sense of the world.
Or maybe connect with their kids again.
What we've rolled out for you is our plan to start taking apart and examining the criminal justice system.
And the criminal justice system in America is massive. It touches so many lives, including maybe yours.
If it has, tell us about it. Tweet us using the hashtag WeLiveHereSTL.
Or you can text us at 314-266-5192. And in true public radio fundraising style, let me read that number again, 314-266-5192. Send us a text.
We Live Here is produced by me, Emmanuel Berry.
And me, Tim Lloyd.
Shula Newman, a.k.a. the Ellipses Eliminator, is our editor.
She does really not. She does not like ellipses. Anyways, Margie Fryvogel is the editor of St. Louis Public Radio.
Our theme music was composed by Casey Morgan.
From St. Louis Public Radio, this is We Live Here. I kind of slurred my way through that.
We can start from the top if you want.
Yeah.